Well, good morning, good morning. Grab your Bibles and turn with me to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. We are in week 6 of our fall sermon series called One Another. And over 60 times that phrase, one another, is used in the New Testament. And so it brings to light that God is trying to emphasize something that we need not miss. It's in these teachings that we discover through one another in the body of Christ, we get to experience the love of Christ as he works in and through us, his people, the church. It is in our unity, the family of God, that we have a very special relationship that with one another, that he wants us to value, to protect, to grow, cultivate, to invest into. And so it's with that aim that we're extracting some of the major teachings of the one another's found in the New Testament over this 10-week sermon series. And today we get to focus on the command to pray for one another. Pray for one another. Buried in James chapter 5 in this one little verse, verse 16, we have two one another's in one verse. It says this, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. I'll teach on confess your sins to one another at a later time. Today I want to focus on the simple yet powerful command that we are to pray for one another. The first thing we have to understand as we look at this is that without the gospel, without gospel renewal at work in our lives, there is no prayer. There is no one another. And so we must start with the gospel. The very phrase one another is one word in the original language. It's mutuality. This phrase speaks of a united people, a church, a oneness, the children of God united in Christ. It is what the entire series, as we're focusing on these things, is looking to strengthen that mutuality, our one another. Sin wants to break into that and tear at that and cause division and complaints and bitterness and hurt. But God wants these practices to dwell and to happen and to thrive in who we are for one another, that mutuality in for his glory might be strengthened. We have to see that there is no one another without the saving grace of Jesus, without the gospel. The God of the Bible is a triune God, which means three distinct persons, yet one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who are God. One God. Three persons. For eternity past, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have communicated with each other. That is prayer. It's communication. We humans are created in God's image to also communicate with God and have a relationship with him. That is prayer. Because of our sinful rebellion, because of our pursuit of self-glory, starting in the garden, and all of us have confirmed it since in our sin, we've broken down that relationship. We've been separated rightly, justly, from the holy perfection of God. Praise God that God the Son took on flesh, lived the life that we did not live without sin, and then died the death that we should die for our sin. He did this ultimately to conquer death, to give us a gift that we cannot obtain with our own works. This is the grace of God at work through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In this, we can be restored and reconciled to have a new covenant, a new restored relationship with God. We're going to celebrate that new covenant in just a little bit with the Lord's Supper. This is important to understand because the way we communicate to God is very Trinitarian. We are desperate for God the Holy Spirit to work within, to stir and move. upon salvation, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within every believer. Presence of the living God within, moving. The Holy Spirit enables and empowers us to pray, to communicate with God. Each of us, as we grow in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit teaches us and works in us, helps us in our communicating with God in prayer regularly. You can clarify it this way, and it's good to think about this. Sometimes we flippantly pray. We don't really think about necessarily what's happening, how it's happening. As Christians, we pray Trinitarian prayers, meaning when we pray, our prayers are to the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, there is one God. There is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Without Jesus, our communication with God is broken because the chasm of our sin is too great. It demands separation from his holiness. But Christ has filled that great chasm. He has made it possible to be our mediator, to reconcile us to God the Father. Praise God for the good news of Jesus Christ, which restores our relationships and communication with God. Look at Romans 8, 15 and 16. You have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit enables us not only to believe, but to interact with God as his children. When we truly get this, we will talk to the Father in prayer. We will enjoy our relationship with him, interacting with him. My prayer for many in the room today is that if you have begun to maybe grow a little dry, a little bored, a little distant in your relationship with God, your everyday relationship with God, that there'd be a stirring in your soul today, an awakening. Just as in our marriages or our friendships, sometimes, you know, we can get busy, we can get distracted, we can lose some of that fire, some of that intimacy, some of that joy, and that in prayer we would re-engage our living God and thoroughly enjoy, be satisfied, as we just sang, in all that he is. We cannot look over the significance of the Holy Spirit's work in us when we pray. The work of the Holy Spirit in our prayer is the difference between knowing God in your head, knowing God as Father, and being held in his arms. Some of us know him as Father, and some of us have such a vibrant walk with him, prayer life with him, that we know what it is to be held in his arms. We don't just know of our Father. We know him. Any attempt at prayer without the Holy Spirit at the helm of our heart will be a far and distant attempt to communicate with someone that feels very foreign and very distant. This is why, if that's you, if you're struggling there, you don't need to just leave today with the prescription to pray more or better. You need to come back to the gospel, come back to the cross, come back to that first love for Jesus. It would ignite your heart. Stir in you a passion. Set you aflame with a passion for him. I spend time on this because it's important that we see that God is not just far off, but that you would experience intimacy and connection that he has saved us to have. Jesus models this intimacy and connection in his prayer life, especially in the Lord's Prayer. We see just in the opening words of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, the opening words, our Father in heaven. First, the word our. Do you see one another in that? It's not just about me. It's about our family. the family of God. Us. Our faith is a communal thing working itself out, that God is working in and through us. Our growth in Christ is a communal thing. We are together. We are to do this with one another. It's the joy of being in the life of the family of God, life in the local church when this is done well and biblically and right. Our who? Our Father. The word here is Abba, literally means daddy, our daddy. 14 times in the Old Testament, God is referred to as Father in the context of him being the Father over all of Israel, being the Father over all creation. In the four Gospels, Jesus speaks to or about God as Father 60 times. There is no prayer to God where anyone addresses him as Daddy until Jesus does. And this is awesome. We need to get this. Our prayer life needs to get this. I believe how you look at or know God is the biggest determining factor for why you pray the way you do. So hear this. God is not impersonal. He's personal. He's not far away. He's close. He's not distracted and busy. He's not that kind of father. He's involved intimately in the moment by moment lives of his children and you and me. He says, Father in heaven. Again, heaven does not mean far away here. Answer this. What are you picturing when you pray to God? Are you picturing him far away? You have to shout to get his attention. Heaven here means highly exalted. He's sovereign. It means he's the king over all. How awesome is that? Our Father in heaven, our highly and exalted one. There is nothing that is not under his authority. God is the Father. God the Father is not anatomically oriented. He's spirit. The Bible tells us, it tells Nicodemus this in John 3, but God chooses to reveal himself to us as Father, not as Mother. This is why we worship him as God, not Goddess. Because Jesus taught us to call him Daddy. Now, for some of you, this God is our dad language is hard for you. It's hard for and very real and raw for you because you don't know of such a thing as a loving, present, caring, interested father. You don't know that. Because you never had one who was around. Or maybe when he was around, he was distracted. He was mean. He was arrogant. He was maybe abusive. Maybe he never cared to spend time with you. Maybe he decided to walk out on your mom. Maybe he won't return your phone calls right now. For those of you who relate, I want to encourage you with this. Do not judge God the Father by your earthly father. Judge your earthly father by God the Father. Psalm 146, 68, 40. God is the father to the fatherless. God is the truer and better dad. Prayer is talking to our eternal dad. Jesus, the Son of God, comes to seek and save us. He is the truer and better older brother. The language of the Bible is that God adopts us into his family by the blood of the Son, by his sovereign election and movement in our lives, his rightful position to declare us justified by the blood of the Son, to adopt us as his own. So in Jesus, we now have a new family. Do you embrace your new family like the Bible says we should? brothers and sisters, an everlasting relationship. And we have a Father that will not let us down. He will not do everything we want Him to do. No good father would, right? He has great wisdom and discernment, greater than anything we as fathers could ever know to discern for our children when discipline is needed, when distance is needed or removal or whatever the thing, the ways He's working in our lives. He's caring, properly disciplining. He's faithful. He's just. One of the biggest misunderstandings of prayer is that it is a religious practice. That it is a spiritual discipline. You need to do better. And I pray and hope that you see prayer as more than that. It is that, but it's more than that. If you look at prayer that way, you will not long for Him. It will be a chore, a box to check. Sometimes when we think about gathering for prayer, making time for prayer, we justify in our heads, man, I've got other more important, more demanding things to do than to be still and pray. This week in our community groups, there is a brief study as some outline that's going to give way to prayer together. That's the bulk of our time together. I pray as you consider joining one of the community groups, and even if you're not regularly a part of one, it'd be a great week to jump in and come join one. That you would not shy away because, oh, we're just going to spend some time praying. I'll catch up next week when we're back to study. No. You would value it. You would say, yes, I want to do that. I want us to exercise that. I'm looking forward to that time together. What a joyful thing it is to walk and talk with our daddy. Why is praying for one another so important? Let's answer that question. To love each other, to encourage each other, as we've talked about so far in our One Another series, but not to pray for one another, is to potentially have a cool club of community where we encourage each other and we love each other. It's this communal brotherhood. But without prayer, it's not the church. It's something else. Because the church prays for one another. I encourage you, even if you're really struggling lately, even if you're in some really tough stuff, just make your prayer life all about you. Continue to practice praying for one another. Continue to see that you're a part of others. The scriptures even give us encouragement in this, you know, and when you're struggling greatly, don't forget there's brothers and sisters going through far worse things than you are around the world. Our praying for one another is a part of the economy of God that God wants us to practice and to exercise and to enjoy. Do you see the value and the importance of prayer? How powerful is it to you? You know, you really test that is how often do you really pray? I mean, talking with God. I don't mean you've got to have, you know, go into that special place and get on your special rug and on your knees and that's prayer. No, prayer is talking to God everywhere, anywhere. How often are you really praying, talking with Him, walking with Him? This is a sign of how powerful prayer is to you. Constant prayer is so key. To teach us this, Jesus told a story in Luke 18. One day, Jesus told His disciples a story to illustrate their need for constant prayer and to show them that they must never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, He said, who was a godless man with great contempt for everyone. A widow of that city came to Him repeatedly, appealing for justice against someone who had harmed her. The judge ignored her for a while, but eventually she wore him out. I fear neither God nor man, he said to himself, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant request. And then Jesus makes this point. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from the evil judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think that God will surely give justice to His chosen people who plead with Him day and night? Will He keep putting them off? I tell you, He will grant justice to them quickly. But when I, the Son of Man, return, how many of you will I find who have faith? Is your faith being exercised, church, in prayer? To continue to pray in line with God's will, to be fervent, to not give up. When the doctors say, when the bills say, when the attorneys say it's done, we don't live to the command or the authority of this world. We live to the command and the authority of the living God. Amen? So we don't give up. So we keep praying until He ordains that it is done. Good or bad, His purposes, His plan are better than ours. Praise Him for that. Keep interceding, keep going to Him. And when you do this, you will keep hope alive. When you stop praying, it is a sign that you have lost hope in that situation. It will maintain a willingness in your heart to be led by Him and His timing. Prayer is good for us because it is our constant yielding to Him. You continue to bring that situation to Him, lay it down at His feet. That is how you remind yourself that you are not in charge, but that He is. And it will, in that constant laying it down, it will allow you to climb up into His arms and begin to look at that situation through His eyes. And it will give you what the scriptures talk about, a peace that is beyond understanding. In other words, when the circumstances say it doesn't make sense, His peace reigns. Because you're beginning to see that your God is at the helm of that. And it will guard your hearts against sin. Constant prayer is needed. When you're going to God, that means you're not looking to something else to be the source of the answer. It's when you stop going to God in prayer and you start looking around for something else to be the answer, that's when you're in trouble. For example, if you're single and you're praying for a godly spouse, a godly partner, keep praying. Because as you pray in God's will for the godly person He is preparing you for, you will be constantly reminded of the kind of godly cursed person that He longs for you to be. When you don't do this, in your sin, you begin to forget who you are supposed to be in the Lord, who He has commanded you to be looking for, and you will begin to compromise, and you will begin to sell out, and you will begin to lose patience. Why is praying for one another so important? Because when we don't, we forfeit one of the most central joys of being restored to the united family of God. To constantly be able to go to God, who is the most central in all things, and look to Him to lead, to work, to give wisdom, to be glorified. Without this, we attempt to interact with one another by our own power, and that when we do that, it gets really messy. The wisdom, work, leadership I will have apart from God is worthless compared to what He has. So prayer keeps us, the united church, focused on Him. Doing all the other one another's without prayer means we are attempting to do them apart from God. Love one another, encourage one another, be patient with one another. I won't love you, encourage you, honor you if God's not the center of my heart and my life. So we must pray. Finally, before we enter into a short time together, why we need to pray for one another. Let's look a few. Number one, we need to pray for one another because we are at war, church. Prayer is a wartime weapon, and we are fools to put it down. Ignorant, confused. Why would we attempt to fight to live without it? Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, just listen. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. We are not just called to suit up and sit around. We are called to suit up and to pray. At all times, underline it. To keep alert by making supplication for all the saints. The word supplication there means prayers. Making prayers for all the saints. What does that sound a lot like? Pray for one another. Church, are you praying for all the saints? When you wake up on a Sunday morning, with Sunday's coming, if you're like me, you're getting excited about this, and you're praying, you're gathering. Are you praying not only for us, but for all the saints? In Bakersfield, in Kern County, California, United States of America, the globe. In this day, God's people will meet to worship and grow and study. We praying for all the saints. That the word of God would be mighty and authoritative in their life. That the power of God and the Holy Spirit would move mightily through their testimony. Be saving all those that God intends to save, to do a mighty work for his eternal purposes. Jesus models praying for his brothers, knowing the war we're in. Look at Luke 22, 31 through 32. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, and he might sift you, that he might sift you like wheat, Satan's intention. But verse 32, but I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Are you praying for one another, the person sitting next to you, laying your prayers? When you're picking up your kids and dropping them off on a Sunday morning, are you praying for them? When our worship team comes to the stage, just prepping the week, are you praying for them? When our staff pray for us. We had some time at our regional conference these last couple days, a few of us. Just about all of us are getting to go to another conference. We leave this afternoon to dig in together. Pray for us in the coming 48 hours, 72 hours. Our elders, leaders. I'm really humbled at the generosity, the gifts you've given to me for Pastor Appreciation Month. The greatest gift you could give me is to pray for me. My family. Not that we would just be protected and impotent. No, pray that God would use us for his purposes, for his glory. That we would run the race hard and fast with every day that he's entrusted to us. We need prayer for one another so that our faith endures and grows. I love Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. According to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner beings. Praying for the church. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Whew, that's praying for one another. Circle that passage. Pray that for one another. all Christians know Christ loves them or they would not have saving faith. Not all Christians are actively being transformed day by day in Christ in their inner beings. We're praying for that. It is one thing to have a bank account. It is another thing to use that bank account. It is one thing to have God as Father and Jesus as Savior. And it is another to interact with and walk with and talk with and draw on and rely on God, that Father. We need not just believe the glory of God is within us, but to experience the glory of God and be overwhelmed and filled by it. In your prayers for yourselves and for one another, are you asking Him for deepening here, an attentiveness to the gospel that He would sanctify and grow us? And then finally, we need to pray for one another as an active way of fighting for one another. Romans 15:30. Now I urge you, brethren, by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive. That's fight together in unity with me in your prayers to God for me. He's saying, will you go to war? Will you fight in prayer for me? We need to do that for one another. Did you see? By our Lord Jesus Christ, by the love of the Spirit, this is the power. This is the motivation. It starts with the gospel in you, moving through you, empowering you, motivating you to do this, to fight for in prayer for one another. So I want to ask you to reach into your bulletin real quick, and we're going to do a quick exercise. Literally, we're going to do this swiftly. Take this piece of paper out. You're going to share this with someone sitting next to you, so write something that you're comfortable with sharing. Put your name on the top. Might have some pens floating around. You can borrow one. And just very quickly, what's the first thing that comes to mind? What do you need prayer for? Be simple. Doesn't need to be a fancy, elaborate, big. Raise your hand if you need a pen. Okay, the pens are coming. Stephen, Marilyn are going to walk down some pens. Number two, what are you thankful and praising God for? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Just put it down. Anyone else need a pen? Raise your hand. Got pens coming over here. Right there on your right, brother. Try to write legibly. Holy Spirit can help, maybe. Sometimes we need help interpreting. Your name, something simple. What do you need prayer for? What are you thankful and praising God for? In your bulletin, at the door when you leave today, you're going to be handed another prayer sheet overview. We have committed as a church to pray for our city on the third Sunday of every month this year. I hope you're doing this. I hope you're making time. You're going to go to lunch with friends today, spend some extra time praying over our city. I hope you make time today to spend some time together in prayer. As the staff, as we drive today, we're going to spend some time in prayer on the road. Okay? Make time today to pray for our city. Let's fulfill this commitment to pray for our city. On that list is a whole bunch of things to consider praying for. Come to our community groups this week and spend some time in prayer together. We're going to have another tool to give you and equip you in that and really help you. Some of you are going, man, I don't really know how to pray. Come this week to a community group and I will give you some very practical help through our leaders to walk through how to pray. Simple prayer life. Okay, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, groups are here on campus, 6:30, come join us. It's going to be great. Wednesday, Thursday, child care is provided. Okay. What I want you to do, when we dismiss here in a little bit, I want you to find someone that's not related to you, and I want you to ask them, will you pray for me this week? And hand them your blue piece of paper. Okay? Anyone. Go to someone you don't know. Let them get to know you. Maybe there's a new relationship that's developed there. I want you to break out of your comfort zone and share this with someone. So in addition to our praying for our city today, I'm going to ask you to pray for one another, and specifically this person that lands this before you. I would encourage you to maybe even try to find someone you don't know to do that. How awesome will that be? Okay? Right now, I'm going to invite the band up, and I'm going to introduce and start and set the table for us to praise God and remember and celebrate Him in the Lord's Supper. Time of celebration, time of remembrance, a time of communion with one another, as we talked about a few weeks ago. Paul's teachings in 1 Corinthians 11 around the passage of instruction that was given for how we are to do the Lord's Supper was largely reprimanding that local body in Corinth for their lack of communion, their disgruntledness with one another, to repent of their sins and be united with one another in testifying of what Jesus has done. Your testimony about Jesus saving you from sin unto eternal life is bigger than just you. Get over yourself. It is about the church He is redeeming, the family of God. What a joyous thing it is to gather and celebrate and remember what He has done to set us free. If you're here in the house of God today and you, these things are new to you, you have not repented of your sin and trusted your life to Jesus Christ, then this remembrance of what He has done for you, it wouldn't make sense to do today because it's not for you yet. But I would encourage you to observe the testimony of those that He has saved, not by their work, but by His sovereign election, salvation, moving, saving grace in their lives. And that maybe you would contemplate, what are those barriers that are in your heart that cause you to cling to things other than Jesus for life, for salvation? What is that self-rule that you're so interested in having the power over your own life? And what does that mean for your eternity as you rightly sit under His wrath and sin? I encourage you to do business with those things. Maybe you have some further questions about that. In the follow-up to today's service, there'll be some people down front to pray. Maybe someone who brought you or invited you would be someone to connect with and ask some of those questions and dig into God's Word together. Come back and journey with us further. And if you have repented and believed in Jesus alone for salvation, then feast with us. Okay? Let's stand together. We're going to pray. We're going to worship God. We're going to feast. Father, we thank You for this hour, this time, to be the church, to corporately come together and dig into Your living Word that it might challenge us and convict us and shape us and mold us and press us into these things that You would have for us, Father. That we would pray for one another. And Lord, we turn our eyes to the cross, to what is given on our behalf, to the pain, the suffering, the anguish that Jesus went through for us, so that we would be forgiven, so that we would be washed clean and renewed and sanctified and purified and adopted as Your sons and daughters. And so, Lord, we remember the bread and juice Jesus gave up on the cross, and we celebrate and we worship and we testify. Hear us, Lord. We praise You that You've paid it all. Your work is perfect and done. And so hear us as we sing and celebrate. In Jesus' name, amen.